beautiful Saturday morning. Our last hour, we were talking about decluttering and organizing your life, and Rick texts in and says he's just got one thing to say. No, two things to say. Men don't own junk, and don't touch my stuff.
He was empathizing with you, Rosie.
So here to Rick.
Rick who?
It just says Rick.
So there's another Rick from Oral Valley that wrote in.
Yes.
And said he threw away two Afghans his wife had knitted because he didn't know what an Afghan was and didn't know she knitted them. And after seeing them in the closet for years and years and years, one day cleaning, threw them away. And just so happened that later past that, his wife was looking for them. And he says, this has been years ago.
Better
and
check.
I still haven't made up for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I bet he hasn't. Hey, we got a question during the break from Pete, who has a double plane, double glaze, 6 foot by 4 foot aluminum window from a home built in the 70s. And the stationary panel has the indoor pane of glass broken.
Mm. I don't know how the indoor pane, I understand how an outside one would break, but an indoor one. And he's probably wanting to know, does he have to replace the whole window or can he just replace that stationary glass pane? And you can. It's not always the best option, and it depends on what the frame material is made out of and how structurally sound the rest of it is. But yes, you can replace those. And if it's a dual pane, they have to seal the inside of the glass, because if there's moisture inside of it, when we've got days like today where there's a lot of moisture outside, the windows will condense on the inside, and you'll constantly look like you're looking through foggy windows, because it is fog.
Yeah, it
so
is.
So it's not, you've got to order the right pane, and a glass company may not have that in stock, and it may take a little while to get it.
He mentions the particular window brand. And like I say, it was built by a merchant home builder here in the Valley in the 70s. And Pete, I can just tell you that the aluminum frame windows, merchant home builders, and I'm not going to name this one because this one in particular was a good home builder. But back in the 70s, home builders weren't putting money in exterior doors and windows. And you can call Rosie Certified ABC Glass at 602-971-3440. And they can simply replace the glass in your broken window. But please do yourself a favor. Before you do that, call Freelight, call Dunright Window, call Pella, and get a price for the Pella fiberglass impervia window, and take a really hard look at just replacing that 1970s aluminum frame window with what I think should be every homeowner's default window of choice, the Pella impervia. And Pete, if you would replace that window with an impervia in just that one room, it would drive you and motivate you to realize just how poor a window you've been living with for the last 50 years. It's going to make the room more comfortable. It's going to make the room much quieter. It's going to be a much more secure window. We were talking home security just a minute ago. This that window you have is one of the easiest windows on the planet to break into. So yes, you can replace the glass. But before you do that, call one of our Rosie Certified Pella window installers and get a quote for the Pella Impervia. You'll thank me for that. You really will. Pete, thanks for calling in, letting us know. Now you want to finish hitting these top topics of 2019? We were talking about the three building-related tankless water heaters, how to make your home less desirable for burglars, and where does electricity come from in Arizona? And then we've got the three most popular landscaping topics.
Yeah, we thought it was important to break it down. We do cover landscaping in our Outdoor Living Hour, 8 o'clock every Saturday morning. And this is going to be a big one for Arizona based on how much water we're getting. And, you know, you may not see weed growth right now.
If you don't, you were very smart pre-emerging 3 months ago.
And with the colder mornings, you know, existing weeds are growing, but, you know, the germination isn't, you know, acting near as fast. So there's just thousands of weed seeds laying
soaking it up right now.
This sun comes out, you know, we get another day like this tomorrow, they're going to start sprouting here in the next 4 or 5 days. So plants out of control. And I even pulled an article. There is a weed that's taking over the carefree area so much that they're trying to get residents to start.
It's globe chamomile.
And that's a nasty one.
Yeah, it's got those little tiny yellow flowers. And it acts like a ground cover.
When I'm pulling weeds at our house, I mean, I can touch anything just fine. As soon as I touch that one, you know, I don't know what it is, but start sneezing, your hands turn red. I mean, it's a nasty one.
Well, they're really encouraging people to keep on top of their weeds in the yard because they're really expecting a high fire spring.
That's the one downside of wet winters in Arizona is it produces that growth for bad fire season. So the plants out of control, that was one of our top ones from this past year. So you can pull that. And we've put one blog together with all of our top blogs. So if you just go to rosieonthehouse.com/blog, it's the top one. And then you can get direct links to all of those so you don't have to spend any time searching.
And then the other thing we try and coach people on all the time is what not to plant in Arizona. Now, I don't know if there's a plant on the planet you can't make grow if you're willing to invest the time, the effort to create the microclimate necessary to nourish this plant along. But there are a lot of plants people bring to Arizona or want to try in Arizona that invariably are much more work than they're worth.
And there's people and companies that are trying to find ways to make them work because the demand is there. They see the opportunity for generating a profit. I mean, use avocados, for example. Most of our fruit trees in Arizona come from grafters, big fruit tree nurseries in California. And they're constantly trying to find one or graft the perfect avocado that would produce if planted in Arizona because of the amount of requests for that. It'll be interesting to see. They're trying, but that's the top one that you see constantly tried with little success.
Generally speaking, the summers are too hot and the winters are too cold for avocados. Now, if you've got a microclimate where you've got an avocado tree that's happy, just count your blessing, brother, and enjoy your guacamole. But don't take the intent of harvesting avocados lightly on your property. It's a lot of work. Azaleas are a lot of work. Any tropical fruit is a lot of work. I don't even
know. We're not in the tropic. This is a desert, not a tropic. let's see, hydrangeas are another one that come to mind. These other ones that hit on here, I'm not too familiar with those. Hostas? I don't know that one. But that was another one, just planting. And I liked...
Save yourself some grief and agony.
I was quite surprised with Farmer Greg because he's always talking about planting shade. If you're going to plant shade, why not eat it too? And a lot of times that's always... reply to banana apples and peaches and different varieties of stone fruits and citrus. But he's got a focus now on planting your shade and eating it with natives, mesquites, ironwoods.
Love it.
Palo Verdes. We talked about it in the 8 o'clock hour and using the bean harvest.
And then John Eisenhower a couple of weeks ago was talking about trees, deciduous trees, that bloom in the summer, so you get shade, and then lose their leaves in the fall, so you get the warming of the sun to cool off the, or warm up the house. So you got a dilemma there.
So the landscape questions that drove the most interest in 2019 were plants out of control. How do you control them? Also, the toughest stuff to grow in Arizona. Take a look at that before you, in the 8 o'clock hour, Greg Peterson and Romy talked about planning, putting the big picture together for your urban farm. Before you put that big picture together, do a study of what plants do and don't require the most amount of effort. And then saguaros generated one of the most interesting, highly hit blogs we had all year.
And I think that a lot of that's just because people don't know what they don't know about saguaros. They're a very fascinating plant, and we don't have, it's not something when you find a saguaro out in the wilderness, it's not something you could just go pluck and transplant. Transplanting, you've got to get a permit, and then in transplanting it, you've got to make sure what the north side of the cactus is planted facing north again. You can't alter the direction it faces the sun and have success.
And like you say, don't go out and pluck one. I mean, you have to get a tag and a permit if you move one on your own property.
Yeah.
So it is the state flower, and they treat it accordingly.
You can see in big subdivisions when they're coming through, they don't cut down saguaros either. You can see them all stacked in growing containers till after they're done with development, and then they either go back or they sell them to other nurseries that then sell them later. But, they're very heavy. Past about 2 feet, that's not something you want to be carrying, even if you've got your Hex Armor gloves on. The massive weight in a saguaro is incredible.
Especially after a rain event.
Yeah, especially after a wet winter, they're going to be really full and heavy. So those are the six topics that drove the most interest of you, the Arizona homeowner, at Rosie on the House. And we gauge that by the number of questions that come in during the radio program, the number of questions that come into our website, rosieonthehouse.com, and the number of questions that come in by phone at our office Monday through Friday. We've got the phones staffed and manned the whole week, and we're constantly taking your questions and trying to give you the best, most up-to-date, timely answers about Arizona home ownership. It's just one component of the many that we pull together to try and fulfill our mission of being every Arizona homeowner's best friend.